when Ruth and I were married, we were living in Port Jefferson, Long Island, and while we were in our first few months, the Huntingtons of St. James had gotten in touch with us, and we were told that the Oxford meeting in Pennsylvania had referred our names to Westbury meeting, and as a nice welcoming courtesy, the Huntingtons took us under our wing and were very kind to help us furnish our apartment, and we really appreciated the kind little things they did to us. We would have meeting with them on Sunday evenings, joined by a few other people in the area who came on Sunday evenings also. There was a period where we didn't meet, and then we met again, and the group had enlarged somewhat, and we started looking for a place where we could have meeting for worship, and some of the places were very interesting. For a while we met at the Huntington's house in St. James, and then we met at the Garden Club in Setauket, which was a beautiful place to meet. There was one little problem. The people who lived on the first floor, the caretakers, rather on the second floor, had to keep quiet while we had meeting, and we would hear little splashing of water now and then, and at the end of meeting, when we finally broke, they would pull the plug on the bathtub and you'd hear this gurgling sound going as the water went down, and we were asked not to meet there after a while, because the caretakers felt it was very difficult for them to keep their silence. We also met at the Suffolk Museum building across from the Stony Brook shopping area, and that was a very nice small room upstairs that we used for quite a while. We had looked into property in Oldfield. It was in the ruins of a beautiful old barn and buildings, and the people in the area had gotten a little bit uptight about a religious group moving in there, and we lost that place. And then finally, William Huntington, who was always thinking in our behalf, had an idea that we would use the carriage barn on his property. And he, as an architect, would do his best to redesign it and make it into a place where we could stay and use. On the property also is a tenant house where the caretaker of the estate had lived. So we had a very active group at that point, and we met in the carriage barn with the carriage doors still there, and we had an old wood stove with made out of an oil drum that would take the chill out of the place, and the swallows had built a nest on one of the concrete beams, and of course we allowed them to fly in and out as long as we could before we did anything to the place, and no one of course could sit underneath where the barn swallows had their babies. Finally, we thought they had raised their babies, and we had to whitewash the ceiling and the walls, so we took the nest down and felt very badly because they had laid a new batch of eggs, but we had to proceed anyway. And we finished the whitewashing, and we enclosed the walls where the doors had been and made windows, and proceeded to do a terrace in the back with flagstones, and we proceeded to get heat in the building. And for quite a while, we used the tenant house for our Sunday school. And we had eventually had various people living in the tenant house. And we would use the basement for parts of the building. We had quite a while a very fine couple, Joseph and Mary Vise. Joseph was a Canadian physicist at the lab getting his PhD, and Mary also worked at the lab. And they were a fine addition to the meeting. They have since dispersed, have lived in Africa and Cuba, and we have lost contact with them. We've also had a variety of other people living there, and eventually we fixed up, while Ruth and I were in New Mexico in 1968, the tenant house was renovated so that William and Lee Huntington could live in it while they were selling their house previous to moving to Vermont. And we had an agreement that for 8 years to pay up for the expenses of fixing that building and renovating the whole upstairs of the meeting house, that they would have the use of that building. Over the course of the years, especially during the 60s, oh yes, by the way, in 1962, our son was born, which was the first infant in the new meeting house. Gives you an idea that we've been there for since 1962. And at that time, we still had the east room as a stable for a horse, and the other side was where the sheep were kept. We did keep the little building as a tool shed, and the other buildings were torn down. There was a ruins of a dairy and some other buildings further over. We also had, I think, our most active, largest group in the 60s. There were a lot of people came to the meeting because of the Vietnam War, and we were very active in all kinds of groups. It was a very electric meeting. We had quite a Sunday school, which I taught. I always felt like I would like to have been in meeting because there was very exciting times. At one point, someone came to the meeting at night, or some group, and painted graffiti, calling us traitors and commies and spies all over the outside of our meeting with paint bombs. It was a very shocking, upsetting thing to have happen. And it got into the New York Times that we were going to paint them all out the following Saturday, or within a certain time, and groups from all over the area, as far away as New York City and other places, came. And within a few hours, this huge crowd managed to paint the whole meeting house. It's something it would have taken us months to do as individuals. So it proved to us a very emotional experience of having seen how people can reach out and help one another. Since those years, we've been in the meeting house. We had the tenant cottage tied up for those 8 years, where Lee Huntington's son and his friends lived. The place kind of went downhill, and after the 8 years, we gained control of it. At one point, we realized that we would have to put a lot of investment into that building again, and have to pay for part of a road, which was our new entrance from Rich's Road. So we sold 2 acres of land on Branglebrink Road and used the money to help take care of these other expenses. This meeting has been very interesting because in the 60s and up to the middle of the 70s, it was a very peace-oriented meeting in terms of almost a very active meeting. We had people who were intensely involved. We had one couple, husband and wife, who were very active, and the husband had other emotional problems, and there was a suicide. He committed suicide, and I can still remember that memorial meeting where people came from all over that were friends of theirs. It was a supercharged meeting, one of those few experiences you have in life where things become very intense. We've had fantastic people in the meeting over the years. Harry Purvis was very active in the pacifist movement. Harry was an interesting person. He would always read the New York Times before meeting and usually get there a little late and always have something very strong and moving to say. We really missed him when he was gone. Virginia, his wife, was a very quiet, gentle, loving person. And we sure miss her since she's been gone. We had quite a family-oriented meeting in those days, in the sense that we had a lot of young people and very big Christmas programs where we played family music together, and we always managed to have good food, and we've had all kinds of experiences as a group. There have been some interesting things that have happened along the way. There was that first Christmas meeting when our son was the infant in the little Christmas pageant that the first day school had done. We could hear the horses stomping around in the stall in the East Room, and it was a very fitting type of experience for that. We've also had lots of interesting things happen as a group while we worked together. There was all of the work done on the meeting in the beginning was done by the individuals, and it was always an experience to go over to the meeting house and paint or whitewash or do something like that. We've had gardens at the meeting house in the past. We had one year a tremendous stand of popcorn that was ready to be harvested, and during the last week when we were ready to pick it and dry it, the raccoons came and just picked it clean and just left us the husks. And we've had marvelous pheasant population that love to peck holes in all the tomatoes. So we've had our experience with the wildlife. It's always been a beautiful place to be, nevertheless.